Today's message is we're continuing in the series in Genesis, looking at the end of chapter 32 and all of chapter 33 through verse 20. We've already read parts of we've already read 32, verses 24 to 32, and later we'll read parts of chapter 33. Now let's have a word of prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father, may you instill in us a desire to pray and a desire to do what many of your saints have done that we'll see today. And we ask it in the name of Jesus. Amen. This is called Wrestling with God. Wrestling with God, Genesis 32 and 33. Previously, Jacob buys Esau's birthright and steals his blessing. Mom and Dad send him to hide from murderous Esau and to get a wife. God appears and extends the Abrahamic promise to Jacob, whereupon Jacob promises to make Yahweh his God if Yahweh will do what he promised and bring him back safely to Canaan. Jacob gets wives and children and is protected from his wife's father. God tells him to return home, but he fears his brother Esau, who is coming with 400 men. Jacob sends huge gifts to appease him. Now, this all covers a period of 20-some-odd years, okay? We just summarized 20-some-odd years. So back 20-some-odd years before the part we were looking at is when he fled from his murderous brother, and God gave him the Abrahamic promise, And promised to be with him and keep him. And Jacob said, "That's great. If you do that, you'll be my God. If you do that for me that you promised, if you do that, then you will be my God." So now let's see what happens. He's returning home. The first thing that happens is, as he's returning home, you know, he's sending huge gifts to appease Esau, and he's real close now. He's getting real close to Esau. So he splits up his family into two groups. And he has sent on many of his gifts onward to Esau, and 400 men are coming. So Jacob fears Esau's 400 men, that they'll kill him and his family. So he stays just behind and wrestles with God that night, asking God to protect him as he had promised 20-some-odd years before. And God had repeated that a couple of times. God reminds him. Now, you know, you think, well, this is Jacob, right? God must talk to him every night. Well, no, this is 20-some-odd years. He's seen God and talked with God, or God spoken to him, a few times, okay, in 20-some-odd years. And this is a man, Jacob, the head who's becomes Israel and who's the head of a nation of Israel, God's chosen people. So it's sort of entertaining to hear that people are hearing from God on a moment-by-moment basis or day-by-day. But no, that's not the way it works. But Jacob had heard from God several times, promised him to keep him and protect him. So Jacob wrestles with God that night. He's already sent his wives and children ahead. He comes back over the river. He stays there that night, wrestles with God, and God reminds him that he is Jacob. You are Jacob, the supplanter, the trickster. That's you, Jacob. But now, because you've wrestled with God, you are Israel, the striver with God, because Jacob prevailed in his striving with God. He used to be the trickster. Now he's the prevailer in wrestling with God. Let's just read some of that. Genesis 32. Thirty-two, 24. Then Jacob was left alone, and a man wrestled with him until daybreak. When he saw that he had not prevailed against him, okay, God or an angel, we think it's God, okay, Christ, wrestling with Jacob, but you'll notice that in most of these, it says he with no capital H. Possibly Jesus Christ. He touched the socket of his thigh, so the socket of Jacob's thigh was dislocated while he wrestled with him. Then he said, "This is God saying this. Let me go, for the dawn is breaking." But he, Jacob, said, "I will not let you go unless you bless me." So God said to him, "What is your name?" And he said, "I'm that trickster guy, Jacob. I'm the supplanter." And he said, "Your name shall no longer be Jacob, but Israel, for you have striven with God and with men and have prevailed." Then Jacob asked him and said, "Please tell me your name." But he said, "Why is it that you ask my name?" And he blessed him there. So Jacob named the place Peniel, for he said, "I have seen God face to face, yet my life has been preserved." Now the sun rose upon him just as he crossed over Penuel, and he was limping on his thigh. Therefore, to this day, the sons of Israel do not eat the sinew of the hip, which is on the socket of the thigh, because he touched the socket of Jacob's thigh and the sinew of the hip. Jacob had promises from God, and he wrestled with God, and he said, "I want you to hold true to your promises, God." And he wrestled with God. "I'm not going to let go till you say yes." And God said yes. God said yes. God didn't give it to him easily. Sometimes we have to struggle and get a yes, you know, from God. So what happens next? Let's look at our bulletins and look at the next reading. It says the second reading. We'll read this together. Genesis 33, 1 through 5. Then Jacob raised his eyes and looked, and behold, Esau was coming, and 400 men with him. So he divided the children among Leah and Rachel, and the two slave women. He put the slave women and their children in front, and Leah and her children next, and Rachel and Joseph last. But he himself passed on ahead of them and bowed down to the ground 7 times until he came near to his brother. Then Esau ran to meet him and embraced him and fell on his neck and kissed him, and they wept. He raised his eyes and saw the women and the children and said, "Who are these with you?" So he said, "The children whom God has graciously given your servant." Now let's read Genesis 33, 18 to 20. Now Jacob came safely to the city of Shechem, which is in the land of Canaan, when he came from Paddan Aram and camped before the city. He bought the plot of land where he had pitched his tent from the hand of the sons of Hamor, Shechem's father, for 100 pieces of money. Then he erected there an altar and called it El Elohi Israel. Amen. So we want to see next that Jacob had been extremely afraid that he was going to lose his life. God had said, "I'm going to keep you. I'm going to bring you back to this land of Canaan." But Jacob meets Esau, who is conciliatory. The joyous reunion passes uneventfully. So, looking at Genesis chapter 33, we've already read the beginning of that, so we'll skip down to verse 4. Then Esau ran to meet him and embraced him and fell on his neck and kissed him, and they wept. It's a reunion. It's been more than 2 decades since they've seen each other, these two brothers. He lifted his eyes and saw the women and children and said, "Who are these with you?" You know, by the way, Jacob put Whom did he put out front? You know, the ones that were his least favorite children and least favorite, the concubines. And I'll get his name yet. Judah was out there in that first part of that first section or near there, you know, whereas Joseph was way in the back, right? Jacob put Joseph in the back and Judah was toward the front, not right at the front, but if there had been a slaughter, the first to go would have been the one who was supposed to eventually give birth to Jesus, Judah, right? All right. Well, let's see, verse 5. He lifted his eyes and saw the women and children and said, "Who are these with you?" So he said, "The children whom God has graciously given your servant." Then the maids came near with their children, and they bowed down. Leah likewise came near with her children, and they bowed down. And afterward Joseph came near with Rachel, and they bowed down. And he said, "What do you mean by all this company which I have met?" All those herds of and flocks that had gone in front of all of them. And he said, "To find favor in the sight of my Lord." But Esau said, "I have plenty, my brother. Let what you have be your own." Jacob said, "No, please, if now I have found favor in your sight, then take my present from my hand, for I see your face as one sees the face of God, and you have received me favorably." That's a lot of respect he's given to his brother that he'd treated so poorly in the past, right? "Please take my gift, which has been brought to you, because God has dealt graciously with me, and because I have plenty." That's great. Thus he urged him, and he took it. Then Esau said, "Let us take our journey and go, and I will go before you." But he said to him, "My Lord knows that the children are frail, and that the flocks and herds which are nursing are a care to me. And if they are driven hard one day, all the flocks will die. Please let my Lord pass on before my servant, and I will proceed at my leisure, according to the pace of the cattle that are before me, and according to the pace of the children, until I come to my Lord at Seir." Esau said, "Please let me leave with you some of the people who are with me." But he said, "What need is there? Let me find favor in the sight of my Lord." So Esau returned that day on his way to Seir. Jacob journeyed to Succoth and built for himself a house and made booths for his livestock. Therefore, the place is named Succoth. Now, Jacob settles safely in Canaan and erects an altar that he names God, the God of Israel. That's what he names the altar, God, the God of Israel. That's his new name, Israel. He names it God, the God of Israel. In other words, God, my God. In fact, Israel means the wrestler with God. So it's God, the God of the wrestler with God. What's the name of it? Israel. See, L's in there three times. Elohe Israel. That's God, the God of the wrestler with God. See that? Elohe Israel. Jacob had said 21 years or more ago, "If you bring me safely back to Canaan, you will be my God." Here he came through with his promise to God. He said, "Here's an altar, God. I'm naming it God, the God of me." You know, previously he'd said to his father, when he was making believe he was Esau, and he came with some stew and tricked his father into giving him the blessing, and his father said, "Well, how did you get back so quick? How did you do this so quickly?" And he said, "Oh, your God and the God of your father Abraham prospered me and brought me. I found this game quickly." He didn't say, my God. He said, you know, Isaac's God, Abraham's God, not Jacob's God. Of course, he didn't say Jacob anyway, because he was making believe he was Esau. He said, your God and Abraham's God prospered me. But now he says, God is my God. God is my God. We all need to get to a point where religion isn't about what our parents believed or do believe, but it's what we believe. I mean, it's obvious to all of us, right? But this is what happened with Israel here. This is what happened with Jacob here. Jacob, who is Israel, he said, you're my God. Now, let's think about some things here. First of all, we see that Jacob wrestled with God when his life was threatened by Esau. And he wrestled, I suppose, for hours. I don't think he started at the beginning of night, because it was during the night that some of those things that were going on. He was sending his family across the river, and he was coming back. But then at some point in the night, he wrestled with God until daybreak. His life was threatened by Esau, and he wrestled with God. Moses wrestled with God. When was that? When God threatened to destroy all of Israel when they had made the golden calf. That's in Exodus 32, verse 10, and et cetera, really also in the next chapter too. But you remember that incident. Moses wrestled with God, and God said, I'm going to destroy all of these people. Let's start fresh. And Moses wrestled with God about that. Jeremiah, the weeping prophet, he wrestled with God when God was destroying the nation and destroying Jerusalem, the capital city. The city that was where God had put his name. That's in Jeremiah 12, and it's in the whole book of Lamentations. That's why he's called the weeping prophet, because he wrote a book we call Lamentations. All right, he's the weeping prophet, Jeremiah, weeping over Jerusalem. He wrestled with God. Jesus wrestled with God. What? Yeah, Jesus wrestled with God in the Garden of Gethsemane when he faced the cross. We don't wrestle with God over what color tie to wear. We don't wrestle with God over, I need to find some food to eat today because I'm sort of hungry. We wrestle with God when there's something gravely important and very concerning to us. Something about life and death, something about salvation. We wrestle with God. Jesus wrestled with God over the crucifixion in the garden, Matthew 26, verse 36, etc. Paul wrestled with God over the spiritual blindness of Paul's countrymen. Let me just turn to that. Romans 9:1. And you might be able to find some others. These are just the ones that occurred to me. The Lord brought to my memory, you know. Romans 9:1. I am telling the truth in Christ, or that I searched out, you know, in some of these cases. But actually, these all were brought to my memory comes as I look at them. But Romans 9, I'm telling the truth in Christ. I am not lying. My conscience testifies with me in the Holy Spirit that I have great sorrow, an unceasing grief in my heart. For I could wish that I myself were accursed, separated from Christ for the sake of my brethren, my kinsmen according to the flesh, who are Israelites. You know, he agonized over the fact that there was blindness in the hearts and minds, the spiritual blindness of the Israelites, of Paul's countrymen. But Paul also wrestled with God over his own physical blindness. He wrestled with God over the Israelites' blindness, and he wrestled with God over his own physical blindness, which was preventing him from reading the scriptures and preventing him from writing letters, so that some of his letters are written by someone else, physically written. He dictated. And then he might sign at the end and see what large letters I write at the end here as I sign my name, Paul, at the bottom. And because that's all I can do. You know, screened, I'm just about blind. Some have theories about what was his problem with his eyes. You know, he said to, was it Corinth? I forget which city, which church said that they would pluck out their own eyes for him. That's how much they loved him, you know. So, you know, that gives us a hint that maybe he had a problem with his eyes. He never really says that he has a problem with his eyes, okay? He doesn't say what that thorn is in the flesh. So all I'm saying is hypothetical. This is what everyone says, that it's his eyes. But they would have plucked their eyes out for him. But he wrestled with that physical blindness. He said he entreated God three times to remove this thorn from his flesh. But God said, my grace is sufficient for you. So just looking at these three, or six rather, let's see. Jacob wrestled, the answer was yes. Moses wrestled, the answer was yes. Jeremiah wrestled, the answer was no. I guess we could look at some details and see how maybe there was a spiritual yes in there somewhere, but Jesus wrestled with God. The answer was no. Jesus said, you always hear me. Well, actually, Jesus said, your will be done. So I guess the answer was yes in that sense, because he said, but your will be done. But he said, if there's any way this can be changed, let that be so, but nevertheless, your will be done. So you could argue yes or no there. Paul wrestled with God over the spiritual blindness of his countrymen. Was that a yes or no? Well, I say it's a qualified yes. The answer was no in Paul's lifetime. But he says in chapter 9, I'll find it here. Well, in any case, here it is. He says, chapter 11, verse 26. He says, then go back to 25. 11:25. I do not want you, brethren, to be uninformed of this mystery so that you will not be wise in your own estimation, that a partial hardening has happened to Israel. Partial because, look, he says, I'm Israel, so it's not 100% hardening. Some of us are being saved. It's a few. It's a remnant. But a partial hardening has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles has come in, and so all Israel will be saved. And some argue over what that means. But I would say that the partial hardening ends when all the Gentiles come in, and then at that point, all physical Israel that's existing at that time on earth will be saved. And so, in fact, Martin Lloyd-Jones agrees with that. I like to say that because Jim Gunn said, well, you're in good company, Bob. I disagree with you, but Martin Lloyd-Jones agrees with you, Bob, so I guess you're in good company because that's one of Jim Gunn's favorite guys, is Martin Lloyd-Jones. So I'm on Martin Lloyd-Jones' side there. But so all Israel will be saved. So there was a qualified yes, really, to Paul, in that eventually all Israel would be saved. Okay, and Paul wrestled with God over his physical blindness, and the answer was no. I would say he said, "My grace is sufficient for you." So my question to us is, can we find an important cause over which to wrestle with God, right? I mean, I thought about this. Well, Jacob wrestles with God. All right, that's just one case. Well, look at all these other cases. And in each case, it's a very important thing. Maybe the least important was Paul over his physical blindness. Well, I mean, if I'm physically blind, that's pretty important to me, though. That's a big deal. Plus, he was an apostle. And he was writing letters to the churches that we have today that he had to dictate because he couldn't write, it appears. And so, plus he said, oh, send those scrolls, you know, send me those scrolls, I need those scrolls. that he would, reading and studying was so important. In fact, someone accused him of going, was it Festus? Someone accused him of being crazy in the head because he'd been studying too much. That was Paul. He was a great student. He knew the scriptures in and out. But later in life, he was losing his sight and he couldn't do that. But naturally, someone could read to him, right? So someone could have to read to him and he could dictate and someone could write for him. But he prayed about that. That's probably the least of these important causes that people in the Bible have wrestled with God over. What can we wrestle God with over? Over what can we wrestle God with? I can't say it right. With what? Yeah. What are we going to wrestle God over with? I'm sorry. Over what will we wrestle with God? There we go. Over what will we wrestle with God? There's something important. God will lay on our hearts. And we will say, that's important. I'm going to wrestle with God over that. I'm wrestling with God right now. I'm wrestling with God. I'm wrestling with God. My life is a wrestling with God. I wish I were as half as holy as even this supplanter, Jacob. But had the faith of Jacob even. But I'm wrestling with God. Are you wrestling with God? Wrestle with God over something. Something really important. We should wrestle with God. Let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, thanks for your word. Thanks, Lord, that you ultimately are the one with a name that indicates you are in control. You're the one that exists. You created. You take our name and you say to us, you're a new person and you make us new and you place us in your kingdom and you use us for the furtherance of it. Heavenly Father, we thank you for including us in your plans. And even when we wrestle and we win, it's because you win even when we win. And when we lose, you still win. And all is for your glory. And we thank you for that. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.